This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry.
ISC 13 preview.
A look ahead at HPC trends to watch. Hello and welcome to HPC Wire Soundbite for April 26th, 2013, available every Friday on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm Addison Snell of Intersect 360 Research, joined by Nicole Hemsoth of HPC Wire. Hey, Nicole, how's it going?
Hey, Addison, it's going well. How are you?
Good, good. Welcome to the four-year anniversary of HPC Wire Soundbite.
That's exciting.
I know, right? It's been a while here. We've been on a whole presidential term of podcasts.
Well, I think we can probably be elected for another term, or at least I hope so.
Four more years.
That's right.
Well, let's look ahead about 8 more weeks.
Okay. So ISC is just around the corner. It doesn't seem like it, but I look at my calendar and realize it's going to be here before I know it. So the two of us this morning, we're chatting a little bit about some of the trends that we expect to see, especially those that are on your list. And next week, I'll be at the IDC user forum to get another sense of all these trends. And it seems like there has been a proliferation of articles about the supercomputing market in general. Like we said last week, NPR just carried a story about, I think it was arguing that the supercomputing market is set to, quote, soar while PC market dwindles. So,
as with a lot of these things, you get into definitions of what you mean by a supercomputer. And of course, we've seen IDC's numbers that said supercomputing market was up 20%. The supercomputing segment of the market as we have it was certainly up, but nothing was up 20%. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we get our numbers out there. But part of the difference there is that IDC also lowered the entry point on their supercomputer class of systems. So they're talking about systems that are $500,000 and up. And usually when we're looking at supercomputers, we're talking about $1.5 million and up. And that's where you get into a lot more of the spending constraints in the public sector. Government and academic spending has remained really constrained worldwide. And that's one of the big things I want to be looking at going into ISC is, are we seeing any patterns where certain sectors of government or academic spending might start to pick up?
Yeah. Wow. That's really interesting, Addison. So you're saying that this is just a matter of sort of how you define the market then, where people are getting these different figures. It almost seems like there's a need for some sort of standard redefining of what's HPC, or is that too granular?
Well, you know, the other thing is you can overcook it all the other way and say, well, that's commercial and it's not high performance computing. And I don't believe in that either. When we were speaking at a conference in Europe, you get into some academic definitions of if it's a cluster in academia, it's high throughput computing. And if it's a specialized architecture, it's high performance computing. And if a company buys it, then it's neither. And I think that's, you know, a little too exclusionary. We like taking an inclusive approach to the market and looking at all the science and engineering and business cases of these systems. I don't know that you'll get all the analysts in the world to agree that this is the cutoff of this segment and this is where it goes, to the next segment. But I think you do have to look at what are the different methodologies in play when you say that a particular segment is growing or shrinking.
Right, right. Well, I do think it's fair to say that the ISC and SC organizers pay a lot of attention to what the analyst community defines as important issues in HPC, and of course, what they're hearing on their own. So ISC has set forth a set of focus topics this year that include a few things I want to hit on. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of the usual suspects, the same things that we've seen from year to year, with the addition, of course, of big data being a really big word, and also the addition I noticed on the state-of-the-art and HPC applications category, they've added cryptanalysis to that list right underneath medicine, life sciences, and oil and gas, and all the usual suspects.
Right. Cryptanalysis has been in the HPC industry for a while, and it's an interesting one with regards to anti-terrorism or different types of monitoring as security areas continue to be hot. And in particular, it's an application that's at the intersection of HPC and big data. It's a big data type of application within the realm of traditional HPC. So I like seeing it on the list for that reason.
Mm-hmm. You know, I've been hearing a lot about that segment also, like you said, with big data, as it relates to a lot of the new graph databases and graph appliances. It's really amazing how they can use these systems to put together these vast networks to analyze everything from insurance fraud to terrorist networks. So I think that's going to be a focus for me while I'm there to cover. That'll be a neat area to watch.
Yeah, and I like that we're still going to be talking about big data and HPC. What I hope we'll see there is a good sense of what is meant by the different categories of big data with an idea toward, are you talking about a lot of files? Are you talking about large files? Are you talking about the lifespan of the files? There are these different dimensions of big data applications. Now, of course, this is a major thrust of our research last year, and we're about to relaunch this survey again in 2013 across both HPC and non-HPC enterprise users studying the application of high-performance technologies to a wide realm of big data types of applications, as well as understanding the drivers, the barriers, the pain points, the dimensions of big data that go into this industry.
Mm-hmm. You know, and on that note too, they've outlined a few key challenges for HPC that will be focus areas. And again, a lot of these seem to feed into the big data conversation. So among these are, of course, things we expect to see on here. So energy efficiency, programming models, chip design, but also solving the I/O problems of the future, certainly a big data issue. Also, I think the new memory technologies, I'm guessing, talking about, stacked DRAM and such is going to be on there. Those things, I think, are very much going to tie all of the big data talk into the HPC conversation.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And I/O, obviously, with the big data, but for traditional HPC, memory is really the area that we're continuing to look at as configured memory per node continues to skyrocket in our site census surveys. We're putting more and more memory into these systems. And what we're going to need to look at is the increasing cost of that much memory, the increasing power draw of that much memory, what the implications are for parallelism, how you program for it, which then has further implications on the expertise you need in system administration and programming, job management, workload management. You know, as we build these larger systems, or even just more robust configurations through the mid-range, it really changes how you're configuring and managing these systems as we march on forward.
Right, right. One of the areas too that I see on here, and again, all of this wraps around nicely to this larger set of themes that we've been talking about. They have a little item listed here, and it's one of them that doesn't have a lot of detail under it, but let's talk about it for just a second. A focus is going to be interconnects and topologies for HPC systems. So, I mean, the interconnect story this year, especially as some of the vendors are working on their own custom technologies and building off of some really interesting developments over the last couple years, this is a hot area with a lot of kind of neat, still in development type stories around it that are going to come out this year. What do you see happening with the interconnect market?
You know, it depends. I think there's going to be a bit of a bifurcation there where you continue to see standardization in clusters. And I'm really very interested in what Intel has been doing with their networking strategy and how much is getting integrated onto the chip. But the more that commoditizes, the more I think there is an opportunity for novel architectures at the high end. Obviously you see MPPs from IBM with BlueJean. Cray will always have sophisticated architectures on the market. I think the time is right that you'll see maybe even new entry of a differentiated architecture at the high end of the market.
That will be very exciting to watch, because that's going to cause the vendors behind it to completely have to evolve into a new type of vendor altogether. Wouldn't you agree, or what do you think?
Well, I mean, it depends on how much faith you have in this more capability-oriented segment of the market, which ought to exist in HPC. The whole point is to do it better or faster than your competitors are doing it, whether your competitor is a business competitor or other researchers or a hostile nation. You're trying to maintain some sort of competitive advantage through high performance computing. And just having a computer that's the same as everybody else's doesn't necessarily do that. I think that the reason you keep getting new technologies, new algorithms, new development in HPC is because of that ongoing strive to stay ahead.
Mm-hmm. And leading into that idea of the competitiveness issue, another item listed here that we've seen over and over is this term, the missing middle, which will, I'm sure, get you talking again about that term. But it's still there and for very good reason. And I think that you've made the argument before, Addison, that the big data, some of these more commercial type applications that are looking up toward HPC systems to solve some of their problems, all of these things are converging in a way that, is bringing that quote unquote missing middle a little closer to where we expected it to be a few years ago.
Well, yeah, missing middle being the term popularized by the United States Council on Competitiveness here, really we're looking at the adoption of advanced technology for digital manufacturing techniques by small to medium-sized enterprises. And it's totally appropriate that you continue to talk about this. This was never something that we were going to say, let's focus on this for 6 months and it's going to be done. It's a multi-year effort to try to increase adoption. And when you say increase, you're still going to have a huge gap between the large companies and the small. But more technologies from entry-level HPC down to 3D printing can reduce that technology gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Right. I don't see a lot of talk or at least, the little bullet points here about digital manufacturing, but again, that ties in nicely with a lot of the bigger themes. And I imagine a lot of these themes will be explored when you do your famous Crossfire session at the end of ISC this year. What do you think some of the topics will be there, or what do you expect?
Yeah, well, we always have fun with Analyst Crossfire, and I try to be flexible on what the topics are until we get pretty close to knowing what's really going to be hot at this conference. But some of the things we've already talked about on this very podcast, I think are all candidates, looking at the evolution of the public sector, or looking at digital manufacturing adoption, or the role of big data, or what we're going to do with programming models or memory. All of those things are good candidates for what we might talk about. I'm excited to announce that we already have our two end user panelists locked in for Analyst Crossfire. I'll be joined by Diego Klar of Total, which has a huge supercomputer going in, probably the largest commercial supercomputer, and be excited to get his perspective, as well as my old friend Bob Bishop, who's now the president of the ISIS Foundation, doing whole earth modeling and simulation, and is formerly the CEO of SGI, which is where I know him from, going back to early in my career. So I'll be thrilled to get the insights from Diego and Bob on the panel.
That will be great. I love it when we're able to get the perspective of end users with really sharp questions put to them. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Again, it seems like it's far away when you say June, but it's really right around the corner.
It's not. I was looking at the calendar, thought I got to get my passport renewed. I've got that out now. I got to get back before we're off to Leipzig.
Well, you better go do that, Addison.
No, it's done. It's done. I'm just waiting for it to come back. I'll be there. I'll see you in Germany.
Sounds good.
All right. Have a great week, Nicole, and safe travels to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite. Got a question or comment? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.